There was a piece in Daily Maverick 168, their weekly newspaper, by Sasha Planting, around the waterfront, what it's doing to cope with and what its fortunes have been like in this immense crisis. So I thought I'd chat to David Green myself. David, a very good afternoon to you. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, mate. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, now you've seen, I presume, a serious step down from 26 million visitors in 2019. What have your numbers been like under COVID?
Yeah, no, we've had a very serious impact. Clearly, right at the start of COVID, I mean, our numbers went down. They probably dropped about 90%. We've gradually built up, and we've kind of worked our way through the different lockdowns. Right now, we are probably averaging around 30 to 40% down. And that's principally driven by, we would normally expect 30% of our visits to be international tourists. In addition to that, you know, you add on the fact there are zero international events, conferences, and of course, office workers. Probably only sort of 15 to 20% of the office workers have returned. So, we're around 40 in the last. We're seeing, I mean, you can clearly see Capetonians feel safer to come out. People from upcountry are feeling safer to come out. We know at the weekend we were running an average of 55,000 visitors a day, which is only kind of 20-25% down. So nice compensation of the loss of international tourist events with upcountry people. Holidaymakers, and a trickle of probably international tourists, some American accents, some German accents coming through, but of course not British.
How are you doing with tenants? Firstly, retail outlets, have they held?
Yeah, look, there's a real sort of polarization. Those that are largely dependent on the local market have pretty much recovered to where they were. Unfortunately, particularly at the sort of smaller market end, somewhere like the Watershed, you know, overnight, maybe 90% of their business has gone. So what we've tried to do is to support that infrastructure, giving significant rent relief, almost you know, rent down to 10% of normal levels, and also just give them any assistance. So we've found many of them, smaller tenants, you know, struggled to apply for TERS. Just how to do cash flows, business, how to apply for bank loans. The other area that's badly hit, of course, is restaurants. You know, I think Waterfront is the kind of epicenter for large tour groups. You know, when there's a sort of like a Mining and Daba. So unfortunately, the restaurants have taken quite a heavy toll. We've got about 80 eateries in total within the Waterfront, and 10 have closed for good. But we're talking with about another 5 to come back. So it's kind of, it really is, if you're in a sector that is strongly impacted, like markets, like jewelry, like curios or restaurants, they've taken quite a bad hit. And you know, no matter what we do, it's just not been possible to hold on. But the bulk, so I mean, our center only has 3.5% vacancy now, which is still pretty good. There's still quite a good demand from people to get in to the waterfront there in the retail.
What about that office space you mentioned? That's been a big development down the years of putting more and more office workers into the waterfront area. Has that held?
Yeah, it has held, actually, Mike. It has held. I mean, our vacancy there is about 3-3.5%. We've built, as you exactly said, we've almost tripled the blue chip tenancies we've got here. And generally, these larger corporates have held on. Some of the sectors are doing better than others, like financial services. We've attracted new tenants in. So also the vacancy there is only about 3%. I mean, the big thing with offices, as you know, is what is the future of office going to be? We're quite strong in the co-working space. I think we've got 5 co-working, which is the kind of flexible space offer here. But I think, you know, all corporates are kind of wrestling with what is the right balance between creativity, innovation, motivation, business culture, and flexibility to some of their staff. Everywhere is different. You know, you've got certain cities like London, New York, where the commutes are very hard. We have less of that. It's actually really about the balance between, you know, the productivity, efficiency of the office, and what works for people.
And what about your owners, your holding company? Are they doing all right? Are they still prepared to put investment into the waterfront? Do they see it having the kind of future that attracted the enormous price that was paid for it not so long ago?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Our owners are the Public Investment Corporation and Growthpoint. And I think, you know, we are a trophy asset for them. We are probably their biggest drag currently because of the heavy reliance on tourism. But throughout this, they have been strong backers, and we've continued our investment levels. We're probably investing between $200 to $400 million a year, and that's down from maybe $500 or $600 million a year. But yeah, we've kept up that investment. We've been working on connecting ourselves to the city, so we developed a silo and the canal precinct connecting, and we've recently announced additional planning consent for that area. We're building a new office for Investec in that area. We're putting a new gas station into that area. We're looking at schools. Obviously, not every sector we're looking at growth. I think the retail is in a transformation. But there's certain sectors, such as certain office working, co-working, flex office space, schools, residential, medical care. You know, there's certain sectors, and our investors are, you know, they recognize the need to keep the waterfront fresh. It is the most valuable piece of real estate in Africa, and they've been very supportive throughout this time.
What's your wish list? What needs to happen, David, for things to turn around for you?
Yeah, look, I think the immediate thing is about vaccination levels. I think, you know, we have to do everything we can to persuade people of the benefit of vaccinations. Very encouraging at the weekend. You were talking about sporting events. You know, what is becoming the norm is that, you know, these people can get back to normal life if they're double vaccinated. So the rugby, tennis, golf, Grand Prix, you know, we see in our city Two Oceans races coming back, the cycle tours coming back. But there, you know, we need to get the message on the vaccination. The evidence is that people who double vaccinated are not in the ICU units, they're not in the hospitals. It does protect people. So that's my kind of first wish list there. Clearly, you know, diplomatic effort to get our major tourist market, which is the UK. I think both the province and nationally, that is going to break. It'll come soon. It needs to come. I think Britain's a bit of an outlier on this visa situation. Germany, USA are accepting double vaccinated people without onerous requirements. And then I think obviously long term, the city needs to recognize it's a wonderful, vibrant, active city, but it needs to work on rail as the primary access for people to get in and out of the city cheaply, safely, and effectively. The beauty of Cape Town is we have that rail network that goes to the population densities. We've proven with the How Train that we can run these, that the commercial money is going to come in. And that would be the dream sort of scenario for Cape Town, to use those rail links, connect fast link to Stellenbosch, connect into where the population densities are, making it cheap, safe and effective to get in and out of Cape Town, in and out of the waterfront. And that would be, I think, the biggest thing to move us forward.
David Green, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. CEO of the V&A Waterfront. I couldn't agree more on the subject of rail. In that interview with Sacha Planting in DM168, he talked about the need for PRASA to get operating. It's the catalyst for growth. It is the biggest single barrier in this city at the moment. It should be the biggest issue in the municipal elections. Not that it is a municipal authority to sort it out, but pressurising central government to make it happen and holding the ANC accountable for the fact that it doesn't should be the single biggest issue in Cape Town's municipal election.